I get the privilege of standing in this place week after week after week and sharing with you from God's Word. And I want you to know that it is my prayer that as we share together week after week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, whenever, it is my prayer that God will take these things that are said and speak truth, speak encouragement, speak challenge into your hearts, my heart, into the hearts of those that may listen to this message on the internet later. This isn't just about being in church. This is about being the church. And it's about honoring God and letting Him work in our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." If you remember last week, we identified a Jesus person or Jesus follower. Today I want to very briefly identify seven areas of growth in the Jesus person's life. Seven areas that you and I need to be continually growing in. You know, growth is an ongoing process. It's not something that happens and then stops. Unless we die, then it stops. It's an ongoing process. John chapter 3, verse 3 says, "Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" Most of you understand that truth. Unless we experience a new birth in Jesus Christ, there's no way that we can be in the eternal presence of the living God. But being born again implies to us spiritual infancy. And if we are to be mature, usable vessels in the kingdom, then there must be growth in our spiritual life. Babies don't work very hard except to turn over. And that's self-focused. They have to grow and they have to mature to be able to accomplish things. Born again children of God have to grow and mature to be useful in His kingdom and to be vessels that He can fill with His grace and power and use to reach others and use to glorify Himself. These areas of growth that we're going to talk about this morning need to happen in two different directions. The first direction that growth must be in is our vertical relationship. And then it ought to be, well, that's our relationship with God, the vertical relationship. And then secondly, our growth needs to be in a horizontal relationship, or our relationship with other people. We'll take a few minutes and look at the vertical relationship this morning. And that begins with worship. Do you know we need to grow in our worship abilities? We need to grow in our worship attitudes. We need to grow in our worship practice. Just because we're born again, just because we're saved, just because we have become God's child, does not mean that we are mature worshipers. Most of us, self-included, remain in infancy in this area way too long in our lives. Because far too many people in the culture that we live in have come to the opinion that church, that God, that their relationship with God is all about them. It's about God saving them. It's about God blessing them. It's about God taking care of them. It's about God providing for them. That's not what it's about, boys and girls. When we worship God, we proclaim His supreme worth. We attribute worth to Him. This is what was happening in one of my favorite spots of all God's Word. And some of you know exactly where I'm going. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Above him stood the seraphim, each had six wings, and with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" You know, there is no person, not one, there is no living being, there is nothing that is of more worth or more value than God. And the purpose of us coming to church on Sunday morning, the purpose of us praying, the purpose of us worshiping is to proclaim that worth. I tell you that we should come together on Sunday mornings or Sunday nights or Wednesday nights or whenever we gather, expecting God to work in our lives. But we should also come together expecting us to have less of me and proclaim His worth, proclaim His honor, proclaim His majesty, proclaim His glory. If God is of supreme worth, which He is, then the Jesus follower, the Jesus person, must surrender his or her own agenda and embrace the direction, the will, and the agenda of God. It's tough some days. But the only way to grow in worship is to do just that. Secondly, we need to grow in our relationship with the Bible. You know, the Bible is God's revelation of Himself, ultimately culminating in the life of Jesus Christ. Listen to what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture, he says, the Bible, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. How do we know what we ought to be doing? We learn the Word of God. It equips us, it teaches us, it shows us, it tells us. But we can't know that unless we study it, unless we learn it, unless we read it. The Bible is the basic, most frequent way that God speaks to His people. Now, there's something else that you need to know about this. As you are praying, as you are seeking God's direction, as you are trying to determine what God would have you do, which way is right, He will never, ever lead you to go in a way that's contrary to His word. Because that would be changing his character. And his character doesn't change. That would be saying something in the Bible is incorrect. And it isn't. It never has been, and it never will be. We need to know that in the world that we live in today. We need to know that what God said through Jacob or Moses or Hezekiah or Solomon or Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Jude, we need to know that what God said through these people, Ruth and Esther, was true when he said it, was necessary for the fulfilling life of the people that he was speaking to, and is equally true and necessary today. It has not changed. The Jesus person relies on the Bible for developing a healthy framework for living a committed life of following Jesus. And then our prayer relationship should likely grow. You see, prayer is the basic way that we speak to God. But it is also the way in which we, as a Jesus person, open our hearts, open our spirit to God, so that together we might have free and honest conversation. Do you understand that it is okay for you to tell God, you don't like this, whatever this happens to be? Do you understand it is okay for you to tell God, this hurts? Do you understand it's okay for you to tell God, I wish you'd do this some other way? Jesus did, remember? Father, if there's any other way, take this away from me. However, the most important thing is, it's not about what I want, it's about what glorifies you. Do we understand that? Do you understand that it's okay for you to tell God you're angry with him? You see, he's big enough, he's awesome enough, he's loving enough and patient enough to be able to deal with you being angry with him. But the problem is that you're not big enough to deal with it on your own without telling him. Because it eats you alive. And begins to gnaw away at your relationship with him. And being unwilling to admit the truth to him that you're angry at him begins to drive a wedge between the two of you, so that he's here and you run this way. And the reality is, boys and girls,
he already knows it. He knows you don't like what's going on. He knows you're angry at him. He just wants to know if you're grown up enough in the spirit to admit it to him. And when you're grown up enough in the Spirit to admit it to Him, then He can start the healing process. Then He can work in your life in the area that you're angry about, or that you're unlike, that you don't like, or whatever that area is. He can begin to work in your life, because now that I've borne it to you, and now that I've let you know my truth, and now that I've revealed my heart to you, even though you already knew it, now that I've been honest enough to do that, I can be open enough to receive what you want to do in my life to bring me through that. But as long as I'm playing the game of denial, I can't let you work in my life in that area, because that would be admitting that it's there. And oh, I can't let you know that. We need to grow in our prayer life. And it is the way that we as Jesus people learn to hear the Father's voice, so that we might respond to Him with our thoughts and our words and our actions. Yes. So this is the vertical relationship that we need to work on, that we need to grow in. And then there's the horizontal relationship, the relationship with other people, and the relationship with the culture that we live in, and the relationship with Jesus. The relationship with the culture and with other people based on our relationship with Jesus. First off, we need to grow in the area of serving. That's demonstrating Christ-like love to others by putting their needs above oneself and living out the gospel through helpful acts. Well, we just said we needed to put God before ourselves and our relationship with Him, and now we're saying we need to put other people before ourselves and our relationship with Him. Wow. Well, that's what God says. He tells us to put other people first. He tells us that service is an act of compassion. Compassion's for the one you love. He tells us to consider others over ourselves. Service, guys, is nothing more than an act of love. I know it's simple, and I know you've heard it before, but you will always hear it as long as I'm here and able to say it. It's about me letting God love you through me. That's what it is. Why do we have 35 to 40 people out here every Tuesday morning giving away thousands upon thousands of pounds of food to people that you don't even know? Because it's about you letting Him love them through you. I continue to get amazed at that thing. That minister continues to just bewilder me and blow me away, and continues to make me wonder what God is really up to over there. Last Monday, Rick said to me, "We got all this extra food this week." Yeah. Tuesday, you guys gave away 18,000 pounds of food to 220 families. And he said to me, "We don't have any food left." And most of those 220 families, you had the opportunity to pray with somebody in that family. Yes. The opportunity to invite them to worship with us. The opportunity to tell them that you love them.
I said, I don't know what God's doing there, but I do know that there was one situation where a lady's sitting at the table and you filled out the necessary paperwork and you prayed with her. And when you got done praying with her, she said, let me pray for your church. And she sat there and prayed for all of you. And for what God's doing here. This is service. This is ministry. That's what it's about. Secondly, giving. Giving is investing in the strategies and the ministries that advance the kingdom of God and support the well-being of His body, the church. Malachi 3:10 says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down on you a blessing until there is no more need. You see, guys, the Jesus person genuinely cares about the needs of other people. I want to tell you something, because it may be the best kept secret in Polk County. I want to tell you something. You folks appear to me that you give until it hurts. And I'm not talking about hurting a buffalo. Some of you old enough to know what that reference is. But until it hurts your pocketbook. You are among the most generous people that I have ever had the privilege of serving with. And that is one of the reasons why God blesses this church so much. You give. And you take what you give and use it for ministry rather than sticking it in some musty old bank to build up more or to try to build up more. You know, the food that God gives us and the money that God gives us and all of the resources that God gives us is just like the manna that He gave to the Israelites. If we don't use it when He gives it to us, it rots away. And becomes no good for anybody. And you give. And you not only give to the church, but your attitude is giving through the church. You're not giving to build up a bankroll. You're giving to be able to minister and to reach to other people. And that is one of the greatest attributes this body of believers has. And I tell you what, I thank you for that. I just really do. You see, the Jesus person values people more than wealth. You're not wasteful. Most of the time, y'all do a pretty good job of stewardship. We value people more than wealth. Fourthly, we need to grow in reproduction. That means helping others become followers of Jesus and leading them to do the same. Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Reproducing is the instruction that Jesus left with us when He went back to heaven. It is the cycle of reaching and teaching, and then releasing others to become mature, fully devoted Jesus people. We need some growth in that area. We're not as effective there as we should be. But that's okay. That's what we're looking at this morning. We're looking at areas of growth for God's people. And then there's leading. As we follow Jesus, we must teach others to follow him as well. The one thing that I love about Jesus, one of many, is that he was a servant leader. He was a servant teacher. He helped people and taught them to help others. He shared truth as he helped them. He talked to them about their need as he helped them and encouraged them to do the same. You see, as a servant leader, we must help others become servant leaders. And we must be servant leaders in our homes and in our churches, in the community that we live in, even the same way Jesus was. Now, Jesus' people in general, what is the purpose of mankind? Why did God create us? Why does he leave you sitting here as believers? You got saved, why didn't he yank you out of here? Well, our primary purpose is to have fellowship with him. 1 John 1:3. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. How do we have fellowship with him? We have fellowship by abiding in him and having him abide in us. What do you mean, preacher? That's really good church talk. What's it mean? It means that we stay close to him in prayer. We stay close to him. We study him. We read not only about him, but it becomes part of our lives as we see his example and his teaching in our lives. John 15:4 says, abide in me. Stay with me. Keep plugged into me. You know, wives, you want your husband to stay plugged in. And husbands, you want your wife to stay plugged in. And moms and dads want your kids to stay plugged in to you, to your values, to your teachings, to the things that are important in the world according to you. You want them to stay connected to that. God wants us to stay connected to him. Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branch. Stay connected. Yes. I cut a couple branches off last week. They're laying them beside my carport. They're about that long. They had pretty green leaves on them. They're just growing where I didn't want them to grow. So I trimmed them. They were doing so well. They were so pretty. But I took them off, disconnected them, laid them down on the carport. And do you know when I looked at those things yesterday, they were both brown and withered. Dried out. Ugly. Dead, useless, might as well just throw them away because they're never going to be any good for anything else. And when we become unplugged from Jesus, we're not much good for anything. And if we stay unplugged, if we wander away, then we start to wither up.
Yes.
And we start to become useless to the kingdom. John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. You do what I tell you to do, you're going to stay just as far, just as close in my love as you can possibly get. To abide in His word, then, is to obey His commandments. To abide in His word is to live out His teaching. So, remember some things. If you're a Jesus follower sitting in here this morning, if you've come to that place in your life where you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then I want you to understand, I want you to always remember that you're a Jesus follower, not because of any great thing you have done. You're a Jesus follower because of what He did on the cross at Calvary 2,000 plus years ago.
Amen.
That's why you're a Jesus follower. Not because you're special. Developing a relationship with God through Jesus does not make God love me more. It makes me love Him more. Now, I've asked you this question before. I think it was a Wednesday night, though. So only a few of you got it. By the way, if you're not here on Wednesday nights, you're missing one of the most important times in the life of this church. We spend Wednesday nights praying, talking to the Father, interceding for other people, praying about the church, praying for health problems, praying for people to be saved, praying for our military and our law enforcement officers. We spend the time, almost all of it, talking to God about people. You're missing out. That's where the power for this church resides. It's in prayer. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that God will love you tomorrow more than He loves you today? Do you think God can love you next year more than He loves you this year? Some of you sitting there with that deer in the headlight look. It's not a trick question. And the answer is a resounding no. God can never love you any more than He does right this minute. God can never love you any more than He did that day that Jesus Christ was nailed to Calvary's cross because of your sin and mine. God, the question of God's love was settled that day when Jesus' arms were stretched and nailed and His feet were nailed and His side was poked and the crown of thorns on His head, and God, He took all of your sin and my sin, and it caused God to turn His face away from Jesus because of how much He loved you.
Amen.
And you can't be loved any more than that.
Yes.
Understand how much He loves you. Can you picture? Would you picture, I know you've seen the picture, so you can. Would you picture Jesus hanging on the cross for a moment? Just close your eyes. And take that picture that you've seen, whether it was in a movie or a still picture or whatever it was. Take that picture that you've seen of Jesus hanging on the cross. And with your eyes closed, put that picture on the screen of your mind. Now as you're doing that, would you hear God saying to you as he calls your name? And says, this is how much I love you. This is how much I love you. You see, guys and gals, developing relationship with God through Jesus Christ does not make him love me more, but it does make me love him more. And the closer that relationship comes, the more I love him. Developing a relationship with God through Jesus Christ does not make me any better than other Christ followers, but it does make me be the best Jesus person I can possibly be. The greater our relationship gets, the closer that relationship gets, the more that I love him, the more closely I will follow him and yield to him. And developing a relationship with Jesus Christ, developing a relationship with God the Father through Jesus, does not keep me saved. He does that anyway. But it sure does help me live like I'm saved. The closer my relationship is with God through Jesus, the more my prayer relationship grows, the more my Bible study relationship grows, the more my worship relationship grows, the more I live like I'm a child of God. I hear the Word of God say, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. Amen. I cannot be a Jesus follower until I first believe that Jesus Christ died for my sin. Surrender my life to him. Give him lordship of my life. And ask for his forgiveness. But once I do, I need to continue the process of growing up. Pray with me. Our Father, again, you have blessed us today with your presence. You have blessed us with your word. May our worship be acceptable in your sight. God, I pray if there are those in this place today without Christ as Savior, that this is the hour. And then if there are others, God, that those who are believers, those that have been born again, that need to recommit their life to you, that need to take a stand for Jesus, that just need to come closer. I pray, God, as the Holy Spirit speaks to those people, that each of us would respond in a way that honors you. In his holy name, amen. That means in my life today.